Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Fall 2018 Hospital Safety Grade Town Hall Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Missy Danforth. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us, especially since this is rescheduled from the originally scheduled town hall call last week. As most of you know, we were delayed this year in opening the Safety Grade Review website due to Hurricane Florence. So we moved back those dates as well as the town hall call. As always, the slides and the recording, as well as any of the materials we've reviewed today, will be posted in the Safety Grade Review website at www.hospitalsafetygrade.org. Under the For Hospital section, you'll see a link that says Timeline, and we'll put everything there for you. So today we're going to review the hospital safety grade. We're going to provide an overview of scoring, as well as the details of the safety grade review period, which we're in right now. Talk a little bit about public reporting, important dates, and then, as always, take questions. So first, for those of you that might not be familiar with the hospital safety grade, the grade is an A, B, C, D, or F letter grade, reflecting how safe hospitals are for patients. The hospital safety grade first launched in June 2012 and was formally known as Hospital Safety Score, and many hospitals still refer to it as that. The grade is issued twice a year, once in April and once in October, and this fall will be the 14th release. And as I mentioned, there's more information on our website, hospitalsafetygrade.org, and the slides and recording will be posted there as well. So first, I want to talk a little bit about eligibility. As many of you know, the LeapFrog Hospital Survey and Hospital Safety Grade are two different and distinct programs. Eligibility to participate in both of those programs does differ. The Hospital Safety Grade is specifically for general acute care hospitals for which there is adequate publicly available data. And so what that means is that even some general acute care hospitals can't receive a Hospital Safety Grade. Specifically, those hospitals missing more than 7 process or structural measures or more than 5 outcome measures. And as you can see, this missing data threshold was updated this fall due to the addition of the BCMA measure. So last spring, hospitals could be missing up to 6 process and structural measures. Certain types of hospitals aren't eligible to receive a grade because we use so much data from the CMS Inpatient Quality Reporting Program. That's typically not available for hospitals such as critical access hospitals, PP-exempt hospitals, VA hospitals, Indian Health Services, and specialty hospitals. So certainly all of those hospitals are able to participate in an overall voluntary LeapFrog Hospital Survey. Just can't get a grade. The measures that are selected for the hospital safety grade are unique for a couple of different ways. First, they have to be publicly reported from national data sources, reflecting individual hospital results. And what that means is that the primary data sources we use to calculate grades are the LeapFrog Hospital Survey and data sets from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And I'm going to show you which measures come from where in just a couple of slides. However, we do have some secondary data sources that we use, including the American Hospital Association's annual survey and HIT supplement, and also the Maryland Healthcare Commission's data, and that's specifically for hospitals in Maryland, and it's specifically limited to the PSIs and hospital acquired condition measures. That has to do with Maryland hospitals being exempt from the PPS payment program, and so the Healthcare Commission for the past couple of years has been calculating some of the claims-based measures using a unique claims data set they have that includes those Medicare fee-for-service patients. All of the measures we include in the hospital safety grade are endorsed or in use by a national measurement entity. And importantly, they're linked to patient safety, and our national expert panel has defined that as freedom from harm. And so that means for all of the 28 measures that we're about to review, the measure is either directly quantifying patient safety events, so like the HACs or the PSIs or the infections, assessing processes that lead to better outcomes, like the use of CPOE and BCMA to prevent medication ordering and administration errors, or that have been identified by experts as important to patient safety, such as the patient experience domains, where peer-reviewed literature indicates a strong link between those measures and actual patient safety events like falls and pressure ulcers. There's a couple of different updates this fall, specifically to the process and structural measure domain that I wanted to review with you. So first, I'm going to go backwards. So let's first review the measures, and then we'll go back and talk about the changes. So first, beginning this fall, we now have 13 process and structural measures. This is up from 12 last spring. You'll see the addition of BCMA. The first measure is computerized physician order entry for medication ordering. You'll see that the primary data source is the 2018 LeapFrog Hospital Survey. And the secondary data source for those hospitals that didn't submit a LeapFrog Hospital Survey is the 2017 AHA Annual Survey IT Supplement. So for hospitals, when you log into your Safety Grade Review website, if you see as the data source for CPOE or BCMA or even ICU physician staffing, one of the AHA surveys, please do contact AHA if you need a copy of your original responses. And then how we assign points to those responses is available in our scoring methodology, and I'm going to review that with you in just a minute. The next measure in this domain is BCMA, so Barcode Medication Administration, again, to prevent medication administration errors. The primary data source is the 2018 LeapFrog Hospital Survey, and the secondary data source is that AHA IT supplement. The third measure is ICU physician staffing. Again, there, LeapFrog is the primary data source, and the AHA annual survey is the secondary data source. And you'll see that the reporting period for these two AHA surveys is different, and that's because the annual survey and the IT supplement are actually sent out at different times of the year and cover different reporting periods. So these are the versions that are available to LeapFrog for use this fall. It's the most current data available from AHA. The next five measures are national quality form endorsed safe practices, so leadership structures and systems, culture measurement feedback and intervention, identification and mitigation of risks and hazards, nursing workforce, and hand hygiene. LeapFrog is the only data source for these measures as they're not being collected or publicly reported by anyone else. The remaining five measures in this domain are those five patient experience domains. This data comes directly from CMS, and there again, we do only have the single data source. The five domains include nurse communication, doctor communication, staff responsiveness, communication about medicines, and discharge information. LeapFrog specifically uses the near mean score, and I'll show you and when we look at the Safety Grade Review website exactly how you can find that information. As we've done in previous rounds, the outcome measures domain continues to include these 15 outcomes measures. The first three are hospital-acquired condition measures, borne objects retained, air embolism, and falls and trauma. The primary data source is CMS, and the secondary data source, just for those hospitals in the state of Maryland, will be that MHCC data. And again, it's a special data set. Utilized by the Maryland Healthcare Commission, which includes inpatient discharge data for Medicare fee-for-service patients in the state of Maryland. The next five measures are healthcare-associated infection measures. The primary data source is the LeapFrog Hospital Survey. So if you're on the call today and you submitted a survey, you'll see 2018 LeapFrog Hospital Survey as the measure source. For these measures, if you joined our group, our NHSN group, submitted Section 7 and also provided a valid NHSND in the profile section of the survey. If you didn't do any of those three things, then we would use your CMS data instead. As a reminder, the LeapFrog data, because we are able to get it directly from NHSN, because we have had our own NHSN group now for a couple of years, is always more current than the data we get from CMS for the same measures. And lastly, the seven patient safety indicators. Again, primary data source is CMS. These were just updated in July, along with the three hospital-acquired condition measures. And for those Maryland hospitals, the secondary data source is that MHCC data. As a reminder, the reporting period for both CMS and MHCC aligns exactly. And in fact, the MHCC uses the exact version of the AHRQ software that CMS uses to make their calculations, to assure alignment between rates from the rest of the country in those hospitals in Maryland. So now let's go back and talk about changes to a couple of the measures. And before we post these slides, I'm going to go ahead and switch the order of them. So first is a change to the scoring for the CPOE measure. So as a reminder, CPOE is one of the 13 measures in the process and structural measure domain. The primary data source is the LeapFrog Hospital Survey. In previous rounds of the hospital safety grade, hospitals were assigned 100 points if they fully met our standard on the survey, 75 points for substantial progress, 50 points for substantial progress, 15 points for some progress, and 5 points for willing to report. However, as many of you know, LeapFrog actually updated our scoring algorithm on the survey this year for the CPOE measure. We updated the scoring algorithm in two important ways. First, we increased the threshold for implementation. Previously, hospitals were asked to enter at least 75% of all inpatient medication orders through their CPOE system. Beginning this year in 2018, we increased the threshold for implementation from 75% to 85%. Next, we increased the threshold to pass the adult inpatient CPOE test. In previous years, actually since around 2008, hospitals only had to score 50% on the adult inpatient CPOE test, meaning you only had to handle half of the orders correctly. So your physicians only had to be alerted half of the time to common, serious, sometimes fatal medication ordering errors in order to pass the test. This year, we increased the threshold on the test from 50% to 60%. And lastly, we updated the way in which we're combining the two pieces of information. So the standard has always included the implementation rate combined with the test, combined with the CPOE test score. However, in previous years, the implementation rate has been weighted more heavily when we combine the two pieces of information. Beginning in 2018, the expert panel decided that the test score should be weighted more heavily in determining the overall score, meaning that hospitals that input a high percentage of inpatient medication orders through a system that's not alerting the prescribers to common serious medication ordering errors, including fatal ordering errors, really isn't safe. And so we don't want to reward that through scoring. And so this year, the test score is weighted more heavily, the threshold to pass the test is higher, and the threshold to pass the implementation element of the standard is also higher. Therefore, our researchers that we work with at Johns Hopkins Medicine went back and reevaluated the points assigned to each of the performance categories used on the LeapFrog Hospital Survey. And so beginning this fall, hospitals fully meeting the standard will continue to earn 100 points. Hospitals earning substantial progress on the survey for CPOE will earn 70 points, and again, that's up from 50. Hospitals earning some progress on the LeapFrog Hospital Survey will earn 40 points, and that's up from 15 points in previous rounds of the safety grade. And lastly, hospitals earning willing to report will earn 15 points, and that's up from 5 points. Additionally, the AHA had some changes to the response options to their IT supplement. They went from 5 response options to 3 response options. So there we also had to reevaluate not only the points assigned to each of the 3 response options, since we previously had 5, but also the points assigned based on the new way we're scoring LeapFrog Hospital Survey information and the expert's decision that actually it's the efficacy of the CPOE system that really should be weighted the heaviest. Now, as a reminder, the information we get from the American Hospital Association about CPOE is very limited. We're able to understand whether or not hospitals have implemented CPOE for medication ordering across all units, they've partially implemented it or not implemented it at all. However, we have no information about the efficacy of those units because those hospitals have not taken the CPOE evaluation test. Therefore, beginning this fall, hospitals that have to rely on the AHA data for CPOE will earn 45 points if they report that they had CPOE implemented across all units. They can earn 15 points if they report that they have CPOE partially implemented, and 5 points if they say they haven't implemented at all. Next is the addition of the BCMA standard. So as many of you know, back in 2015, LeapFrog added a new standard to its annual hospital survey Our standard has four different components. The percent of units where BCMA is implemented for medication administration at the bedside, the use of seven critical decision support functions, the scanning compliance, which is basically the percent of medication administration for both the patient and the medication were scanned, and lastly, a series of processes and structures that we're asking hospitals to have in place to prevent workarounds, right? So those hospitals that have implemented BCMA, it's really ineffective if there are workarounds happening on the floors. This is the first time that BCMA has been added to the hospital safety grade, and so these points are introduced for the first time this fall. Hospitals fully meeting LeapFrog standards receive 100 points. Substantial progress earns 75. Some progress earns 50, and willing to report earns 25. For the AHA annual, the AHA IT supplement data regarding BCMA, again, we're getting very limited information. Hospitals can report if they have BCMA for medication administration fully implemented across all units for 45 points, partially implemented for 15, or not implemented at all for 5. For those hospitals that have questions on where to find information about how your LeapFrog hospital survey data was scored, for both CPOE and BCMA, please do reference the 2018 LeapFrog Hospital Survey Scoring Algorithms document. You can download this from the survey website. This will provide you with the information you need to understand what your overall CPOE and BCMA scores are. And then you can use the information we provide in the methodology document to see how many points get assigned to each of those performance categories. So for example, here you'll see that if my hospital entered at least 75 to 84% of all inpatient medication orders through the CPOE system and scored some demonstration on the CPOE test, meaning that I did the test and got at least 40 to 49% of the test orders correct. My overall CPOE score will be some progress. I can see this when I log into my hospital detail page. I can also see this on LeapFrog's public reporting website. When I then look in the hospital safety grade scoring methodology document, I'll be able to see how many points are assigned to each of those performance categories. So you'll see on page 8 of the scoring methodology, if I earned some progress for the LeapFrog hospital survey score for CPOE, that means I'll earn 40 points, and that's what I should see on the safety grade review website. So please be sure if you have questions that you're referencing both of these scoring documents, specifically if you have questions about how we got to your survey score for CPOE or BCMA. All right. Now let's review some measure highlights. So the data for 27 of the 28 measures has been updated since the spring 2018. This is true for both primary and secondary data sources. The LeapFrog Hospital Survey results for CPOE, BCMA, ICU physician staffing, the five NQF safe practices, and the five healthcare-associated infections have all been updated since the spring. CMS data for the five CAPS domains, the three hospital prior condition measures, the five healthcare-associated infection measures, and the seven PSI measures have also all been updated since spring 2017. So this is a very fresh data set. And as a reminder, for those CMS measures, the HACS and the PSI specifically, this is also the first time that the measures were calculated using the new ICD-10 version of the measures. In the spring, we used the ICD-9 versions of the HACS and PSI. The AHA annual survey HIT supplement data for CPOE and BCMA, all brand new this fall. And also the MHCC data, so the Maryland data for the HACS and PSIs, have also been updated, again, to align closely with CMS. So the only measure score that hasn't been updated since the spring is the ICU physician staffing data, only for those hospitals where we got the information from the AHA annual survey. That data is released to us once a year in January, so we always use it twice, once in the spring and once in the fall, but you'll see really a lot of new and more up-to-date data. A couple of notes about reporting periods for the LeapFrog Hospital Survey measures. You'll see that because the data snapshot date this fall was August 31st, the reporting periods for both CPOE, BCMA, and ICU physician staffing, as well as the five safe practices, will be displayed as 2018, because for those measures, you're asked to report on the most recent 3 or 12 months based on your submission date, which would have been in 2018. The reporting period for the five healthcare associates infection measures, CLABSI, CODI, MRSA, C. diff, and SSI colon, is displayed as calendar year 2017. For the CMS measures, there is some variability between the patient experience domains and the outcomes measures, so I've put a link here so you can look up that information measure by measure. It's also available on the Safety Grade Review website. But as a reminder, the reporting period for those five infections is different than leapfrogs, and it will be fourth quarter 2016 to third quarter 2017. Okay. So next, I want to talk a little bit about the scoring details. So we've reviewed the 28 measures used to calculate the safety grade. We've reviewed the data sources and reporting periods for each of the measures. Now let's get into scoring. So the weighting process has not changed since we first launched the safety grade in June 2012. So we continue to include two measure domains, process and structures, and then also outcomes. Each of the domains continues to be weighted at 50%. So you get as much credit for efforts to prevent harm as you do for the results of those efforts or those outcomes measures. We use three criteria for weighting individual measures: strength of evidence, and each measure gets a 1 or a 2. Opportunity, this is actually based on the coefficient of variation for each individual measure based on this round of data. And there, each measure gets an opportunity rating of a 1, 2, or 3. Impact, which is based on both the number of patients possibly affected by the event and also the severity of harm to individual patients. And each measure receives an overall impact rating of a 1, 2, or 3. The one thing I want to point out is you'll see under number of patients possibly affected by the event that there is an option for a measure to receive a score of 0 there. This is actually only used for one measure, and you'll see this detailed in the methodology document and in the safety score calculator, and that's air embolism. Air embolisms are extremely rare, and that's why the number of patients possibly affected is 0. However, when they do happen, they're catastrophic. So the severity of harm to individuals, patients, is a 3. So it's one of those instances where the expert panel has included the measure in the safety grade because even though it's rare, it's incredibly harmful. But in case you were wondering where that 0 came from, it's really only used for that air embolism measure. The weight for each individual measure is calculated by multiplying the opportunity rating of a 1, 2, or 3 by the impact rating of a 1, 2, or 3, and then adding the evidence rating of a 1 or a 2. And when you look in the scoring methodology document and also in the safety grade calculator, you can actually see all of these intermediate ratings for strength of evidence, opportunity, and impact, and how those result in an overall relative weight for each of the individual 28 measures. We also use a Z-score methodology in the hospital safety grade. This allows us to standardize data from individual measures that are publicly reported out or scored on different scales. A Z-score counts how many standard deviations a hospital score on the measure is away from the mean. And so that means the mean is always set at 0. A negative Z-score always means that your performance on the measure is worse than average, and a positive Z-score always means that your performance on the measure is better than average. To calculate the Z-score from the raw measure score, so the process and structural measures, you'll take your raw measure score, subtract the mean, and divide by the standard deviation. For the outcome measures, we actually flip the calculation, and that way you can interpret negative Z-scores as always meaning worse than average, even though on the outcome measures, lower is always better. So there we take the mean and subtract the raw measure score and divide by the standard deviation. You can see these calculations detailed in the safety grade calculator. The overall numerical score is a summation of each Z-score multiplied by the measure weight. And again, this is described in the methodology, but you can see it in the calculator. We then add 0 at the end to normalize the measure score so the hospitals don't misinterpret if they see an overall score that's actually a negative score. As a reminder, if you're missing data for any measures, either you didn't report to LeapFrog or your sample size was too small, the weight for that measure is reapportioned to other measures within the same domain. So say, for example, you're missing a couple of the infection measures because your sample size was too small. The weight for those infection measures will be reapportioned to other measures within the outcome domain, and then your score will be calculated accordingly. Okay, now I want to move on and talk about the Safety Grade Review website, touch a little bit on public reporting, and then we'll open the line for questions. The Safety Grade Review period opened on September 18th, and it will close on October 8th. I want to thank all of you for your patience and the delay in opening this. We were about a week late, again, due to Hurricane Florence. The Safety Grade Review website requires you to enter a username and password. If your hospital submitted a LeapFrog hospital survey by August 31st, we emailed a copy of the username and password to both your CEO and your primary survey contact. If your hospital did not submit a survey by August 31st, we mailed a letter to your hospital CEO with the same information, including the hospital's username and password. If you hadn't received our email or a letter in the mail, please contact the help desk, include your hospital's name, address, and Medicare provider number, and the help desk will send you a copy of the username and password so you can access this website. On the Safety Grade Review website, you can provide contact information. This will allow us to send you important announcements about the fall grade. You can update your hospital's name, address, and Medicare provider number if we don't have the correct information. Importantly, you can review the source data used to calculate your numerical score and validate that we've recorded the correct information. And we provide a link to where you can download step-by-step review instructions. You can also download a copy of the Safety Grade Calculator and the methodology document and preview your hospital's preliminary numerical score. Once you log in with your username and password, the first page you'll be taken to is the contact information page. You'll first need to confirm whether or not your hospital's name and address is displayed correctly. If it's not, you have the option of providing updated information. Next, you'll be asked to confirm your hospital's Medicare provider number. This is important because we use this number to bring in all of your CMS data. So that's the patient experience data, the HACs, the PSIs, and for some hospitals, the infection data as well. If your NPN is not correct, you need to contact the help desk immediately because it means that the data from CMS is also not correct. We ask you to provide some contact information so we can alert you to when the letter grade embargo period opens, and we give you some tips in case you're having a hard time getting emails or notifications from us. Once you complete the contact information page, you'll be taken to the hospital source data page. This page includes a lot of information. It gives you the individual measure score for each of the 28 measures that was available on August 31st, which was the data snapshot date. You can also download and print the review instructions, the fall 2018 calculator, the scoring methodology document, our policy on correcting data, and a summary of changes to the fall 2018 safety grade, which basically covers the CPOE and BCMA changes I just reviewed. As a reminder, when you're on the Hospital Safety Grade Review website and you're on this hospital source data page, you'll see in the table the name of each measure, the domain, and a link that will take you directly to the report where we got the individual measure score. We've received a number of help desk tickets for hospitals from hospitals who are not able to locate the information. What we want to make sure you're doing is actually clicking on the hyperlinks. They will take you directly to the report that we used to get the measure score for each individual measure. So these underlined data source titles are actually hyperlinks. And when you click on them, it will take you directly to the data source, so you don't have to search through 20 different CMS data sources. When you use the hyperlink, it'll take you to the exact one, and you can search for your hospital using your hospital name or Medicare provider number. These instructions are also available in the review instructions on the login page of the Safety Grade Review website and on this hospital source data page. You'll also be able to see the reporting period for each measure and the measure score. So what if the measure score doesn't match the public report? As I mentioned, if we have your MPN wrong, then your data is not going to be correct, or if there's any instance where you find that the measure score for the data source, measure, and reporting period we have listed does not match what you're seeing when you look at that same data source for the same measure, the same reporting period, please take a screenshot of where you're seeing a different score and send it to the help desk so we can take a look. If we find a recording error, we will update your score and reissue that information to you. However, you do need to make sure before you contact the help desk that you're looking at the data source that we've listed in the source data table. So, for example, if you're trying to validate the standardized infection ratio for one of your infections, if the data source we have listed is the 2018 Leapfrog Hospital Survey, and instead of looking at your survey results, your hospital goes to the CMS website, that data is not going to match because we're using a different reporting period. And we're getting our data directly from NHSM. So please make sure you check all three boxes before you get alarmed that there's been some kind of a reporting error or recording error. As a reminder, and we know hospitals love this feature, you can also download the Hospital Safety Grade Calculator. You'll enter your individual measure scores from the source data table into the yellow column in the calculator. All other fields are locked, and that's to ensure that the formulas are kept intact so that the hospital safety numerical score at the bottom of the calculator will match the Safety Grade Review website exactly. We don't want any inadvertent errors brought into the calculator that will result in a problem. As a reminder, if you're missing a measure score for a particular measure, and you'll know this because on the Safety Grade Review website, it will say not available or declined to report, you're going to enter NA into the calculator for that measure, not a measure score of zero. Again, the calculator includes a tab of instructions, and please make sure you review those before filling out the calculator. The last page of the Safety Grade Review website allows you to preview your preliminary numerical score. As all of you know by now, it really is preliminary. During the Safety Grade Review period, we hear any number of updates that need to be made, including hospitals closing because of Hurricane Florence, hospitals that closed before we ever opened the Safety Grade but we didn't receive the information, hospitals whose Medicare provider numbers have changed, so we've brought in the wrong CMS data. All of those kinds of minor changes, even if it only impacted a single hospital, will result in minor numerical changes to every hospital. So that's why this is really the review period, and this numerical score is preliminary. We've received many questions on the help desk about whether or not we'll be updating the cut point for the letter grades this fall. I can tell you that given the addition of the BCMA measure and the changes in rates we're seeing for both the PSIs and the HACs, we will likely reset the cut points this fall. However, we will not start that process until after the safety review period has closed on October 8th. So you can certainly ask additional questions to the help desk, but that's all the information that we can share right now. I did want to provide some screenshots of our public reporting website, but hopefully all of you have seen this. At hospitalsafetygrade.org, you can find lots of information for both hospitals and consumers, and you can search for your own hospital spring grade. We are urging hospitals to go to this website today and print a copy of their data and letter grade from the spring, because once we update this website with fall grades, the spring information will not be available. When you search for hospitals, you can look at them in a list view or in a map view. And you can see here that we actually show each of the letter grades by location using a Google Map feature. When you click into an individual hospital's letter grade details, you can see their spring score. Let's see if I can use one of these. Sure. Okay. You can see the spring score here. You can see the past letter grades and also a detailed table view, which is frankly the easiest to print for your records. You can also look at each individual measure score. They're organized into five different tabs: infections, problems with surgery, practices to prevent errors, safety problems, doctors, nurses, and hospital staff. You'll see that for each individual measure within each of the five measure tabs, we use these gas gauge icons to help consumers understand at a glance whether or not a hospital's performance on an individual measure is above average, green, average, orange, or below average, red. Great. Great. We are going to have these strange icons, it appears, for the rest of the webinar, so I apologize. When you click on the recent past grades text link, you'll see the past three calendar years. Obviously, this will be updated when we do the fall 2018 grade. In the spring 2018 will now be a recent past grade. In that detailed table view, actually, let me go back and just point this out one more time. In that detailed table view link, right under the previous past grades, when you click on that, you'll actually get a table that includes each of the measures, your hospital score, the best, average, and worst, the data source, and the reporting period. And as a reminder, this is the best view for hospitals to print for their records. We do urge you to do this today for the spring 2018 data because this will go away when we publish the fall information. For the individual measure scores, in addition to the letter the gas gauge icon, you can also see a description of each measure, get some information about reporting periods, and also see the relative performance. Okay, important dates. August 31st was the data snapshot date. I explained that hospitals who submitted a survey by that date, we emailed your CEO and primary survey contact, the usernames and passwords. Everyone else, we sent it in the mail. The safety grade review period closes on October 8th. And in mid-October, we'll be offering you that two-week letter grade embargo period. Again, that's when you'll be able to preview your letter grade before we publish it. The letter grades won't actually be published this round until the beginning of November. So because we had to push back the safety grade review period, we wanted to make sure you had a full 3 weeks. And we want to make sure you have a full 2 weeks for the letter grade embargo period. We are not going to be able to do the public announcement in October. It'll likely be sometime in the beginning of November. And again, that was due to Hurricane Florence. We needed to be sure that all hospitals had a fair opportunity to review the information and also that our help desk staff would be available. And there was a period of time right before the hurricane where we actually thought it was going to hit the DC region fairly hard. And so we were concerned that we wouldn't be able to provide that support. Additional information about important dates are available at this link, and that's also where, again, the slides and recording will be posted. And just another reminder to print the information. We always get lots of requests after the fact, so it's always best to plan ahead. If you have questions, please submit a ticket to the help desk. Visit the Safety Grade website. I'm going to ask the operator to come on now and open the line for questions. If you don't have the opportunity to ask your question today, please make sure you submit a help desk ticket at this link here on the screen. So I'm going to pause and see if the operator can come on and give instructions for questions.
Absolutely, of course. If you'd like to ask a question to the presenter, please signal by pressing star 1 now on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. A voice prompt will let you know when your line is open. Please state your name before posing your question. Again, you may press star 1 now to ask a question. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. I have a few in queue. We'll take our first question from Karen Finnerty. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. Quick question for you. Regarding the hospital-acquired infection indicators, my understanding was that if NHSN, if we had such a low volume that they weren't able to calculate an SIR for us, that that would be reported as not available. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Because I got out of the 5, right? 5 infections. I expected one number, but I got 2. And so I went back into NHSN and pulled our data up. And for our CAUTIs, they didn't have a SIR calculated, but yet I've got a number being reported on the survey.
So if you want to go ahead and submit a ticket to the help desk, we can certainly help you take a look at that.
Okay, great. I did the calculations, and the number turns out right if you do the the actual over predicted, but again, there's no sir, and so there's an inconsistency then with the other infections. If there's no sir, then why don't they have numbers as well? So I will put the help desk ticket in. Thanks.
And if you could attach a copy of your report, a lot of times what we've seen when there's a discrepancy here, it has to do with either the reporting period or the fact that you pulled your report after LeapFrog. We pulled our NHSN data on August 24th. And so if you made any changes to your surveillance data after August 24th, the reports won't match. So any details that you have, just submit it in the ticket, and we'll take a look at that this afternoon.
Okay. Yeah, I've pulled my NHSN report. And like I say, it calculates out correctly, but because our volume was so low, I don't have a sir for Cotty. So anyway, I will scan everything in and upload it to you guys.
Perfect. Thanks. I'm going to put that help desk link back up so you have it.
And we'll take our next question from Betsy Rollo. Please go ahead.
Hello. I'd like to just make a suggestion to add the time frame to the calculator?
To add the reporting period?
Yes.
For each of the measures?
Yeah, it would be helpful because usually this stuff has to go to a variety of people in the organization, and I always have to add that piece of data in there because it's important for people to know that the data is from a long time ago, for example.
Yeah, so what's great, actually this fall, the data is pretty current. So all the LeapFrog hospital survey process and structural measures are 2018. The infections are calendar year 2017. But even the claims-based CMS measures include some 2017 data. But the reporting period does differ depending on the data source. So what we can do is we can add a third tab to the calculator that includes the reporting period for each of the data sources. And for each of the measures, and that way you have the information in one place. And actually, we probably can do that this week and update the calculator on the review website. So if you check back in a couple of days, you should see that additional information. That's a great suggestion.
Great. Thank you.
Welcome.
We'll take our next question from Lori Fisher. Go ahead.
Hi, Melissa. This is Lori from Billings Clinic. I think we should probably know the answer to this, but on PSI-4, is a high number or low number better on that?
For all the PSIs and all the outcome measures, lower is better.
Lower is better. Okay, that's what we thought, but I wanted to confirm. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the question.
And we'll go ahead with our next question from Andrew Shapiro. Please go ahead.
Hi, I had a question about how you verify the safe practice scores from all the institutions, because I noticed that the average scores were exceptionally high for things like risk officer salary being tied to performance, hand hygiene having to do with financial incentives and that stuff. How do you guys verify that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first, as a reminder, these safe practices have actually been on our survey since 2001. So some hospitals, in fact, many hospitals have been reporting on these things for 17 years, so it's not really new for them. In terms of the elements of the safe practices related to compensation and accountability, there's two options. One option is that the safe practice is part of an incentive program, but the other option is just that it's part of the regular annual performance review. And there's a few different things we do to ensure the accuracy of those data. So first is that if you notice in the instructions for that section on the survey, we tell hospitals that they have to collect and maintain documentation for each of the practices that they report implementing. We ask them to do that because on a monthly basis, we actually randomly select hospitals and have them submit that documentation to LeapFrog to confirm that they are in fact doing what they said they were doing during the reporting period. But the second thing we do is actually on-site data verification. And so beginning about 3 years ago, we actually launched a national on-site data verification program where each year a random number of hospitals are selected, and we work with a third-party healthcare consulting firm called DHG Healthcare, and they actually go into hospitals and confirm not only the safe practices, but many other of the measures on the LeapFrog Hospital Survey. And if you – I don't know if I can do this on the fly. Can you see my screen? This is the first time we've been to, so you have to bear with me. If you go to leapfroggroup.org and you go to Survey Login and Materials, you'll get this horizontal drop-down menu. When you click on Scoring and Results, you'll actually see the first option is data accuracy, and here we describe all of the ways that we ensure data accuracy, ranging from affirmations to monthly data review to monthly requests for documentation, and then lastly that on-site data verification. So I did a quick overview, but a lot of the details are here as well.
And it would appear we have no more questions coming over the phone line, so I'd like to turn the conference back to the presenters for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, so I saw a bunch of questions in the chat, and as I mentioned, this is the first time we're using Zoom, so I'm not 100% sure. If you put one of these questions in, that we're going to be able to answer it. So I want to quickly scan them right now. So where you're going to go to download the presentation and the recording is this link right here. So you're going to go to hospitalsafetygrade.org. Actually, let me show you my screen share. Hold on 1 second. You're going to go to hospitalsafetygrade.org, and you're going to click on For Hospitals, and you'll see this drop-down menu. When you go to Updates and Timelines for Hospitals, you'll see Town Hall Calls. We're going to post everything right here. I think we'll also have everyone's email from the registration, so we'll email you the information as well. So that's a bunch of questions. I think someone was also asking about the PSIs. Where can I find the specific patient detail linked to the PSIs? So the PSIs that we're using in this fall safety grade were published by CMS on the Hospital Compare website in July. That means that your hospital was given a 30-day preview period by CMS. It's like a confidential preview report they send to you, I believe in April of 2018. When you log on to QualityNet, you can see that confidential preview report, and it actually includes the detail of each case that fell out in the numerator for each of the PSIs. So if you log into QualityNet, you still should be able to see those details, and you'll be able to review that report. But again, the 30-day preview period for the data that we're using would have been in April 2018, long before it was published in July, but hopefully it's still available to you. Okay, can you please explain the primary data source versus the secondary data source? Yes. So, for a handful of the measures, LeapFrog has both a primary and secondary data source. We only use one. So we first look to see if a measure score is available from the primary data source. We would only go to a secondary data source if no data is available. Okay? This is described in that safety grade methodology document as well, which you can download from the safety grade review website. So for example, if we were looking at the CPOE measure, we would first look to see did your hospital submit a LeapFrog hospital survey and do we have information about CPOE. Only if the answer was no, the hospital was declined to report for CPOE on the LeapFrog Hospital Survey, would we go to the secondary data source. We don't use the highest of the two or the lowest of the two. We look at the primary data source first and only go to the secondary data source if there's no information available. And that's true for all of the measures. Can you share ways hospitals can improve for the SAFE practices? That is a great question. So one thing I want to mention is that LeapFrog is going to be hosting an in-person training and orientation for hospital leaders, including quality leaders and survey administrators, on November 5th and 6th. So let me see if I can get you the information. So if you go to leapfroggroup.org and you click on the survey login and materials link, you'll see information for our in-person training and orientation. This is scheduled for November 5th and 6th. It's going to be in the Medical District in Chicago, Illinois, and it's an opportunity for you to get in-depth training on the survey, including sections like the safe practices, also the safety grade methodology, and you can network and meet with peers from across the country who are also doing this work. We held one of these training sessions in May in Orlando this past spring. Amazing attendance, and one of the best things that happened was that hospitals were able to connect with others who were already doing this work so they didn't have to start from scratch. We had a really good variety of hospitals, so different size hospitals, pediatric hospitals, critical access hospitals, academic medical centers, and it ended up being a great resource. If you're just doing the survey for the first time this year or you just started in 2017, you may want to look in to see if this is an event you can attend because, again, it's a great opportunity to get some of those quality improvement strategies that we won't necessarily cover on this town hall call. Okay, so, again, we're going to try to figure out how we can answer the rest of these Zoom questions, but I can't guarantee we're going to be able to do that. So if you put a question in the chat and you didn't answer, get an answer to it, there's about 9 minutes left, so I'm going to have the operator one more time give instructions to get into the queue in case you want to ask your question. Otherwise, obviously, you can submit it to the help desk.
Absolutely. And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, you may signal now by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. And once again, please make sure your mute function is turned off so your signal has an opportunity to reach our equipment. Again, star 1 to ask a question. Mr. Anforth, I'm not seeing any questions coming over the phone lines at this time, so I'd like to turn the conference back to you.
Perfect. Thank you all for joining us. I know this is a lot of information. That's why I left this help desk link up. Please make sure you're taking advantage of the review period, including reviewing the methodology and the calculator. Please print your spring safety grade information because it will not be posted once we update with the fall. And thank you all for joining us, and have a great afternoon. Bye-bye.
This will conclude today's call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.